people and will end the same way? The one thing I can control is being kind to those who are kind to me. And it sounds like Avery wouldn't mind some time alone with Connor. That would be great, actually. Is it okay if I slip out after the photo? Absolutely. Here, I take off the sunglasses. Could you return these?
Hey, you two.
Connor calls. We both turn to him. Under the glaring, punishing sun, his scowl still makes my heart beat faster. But my heart, too, is nothing more than a clump of atoms.
How about you start posing for that picture?
Avery and I share a smile. I think we might really be best friends now. Avery? Yeah? If you had to guesstimate, how often would you say Connor Harkness thinks about the Roman Empire? She bursts into laughter. Chapter 15. 3 years, 2 months, 2 weeks, and 6 days earlier. Edinburgh, Scotland. The guys are a few feet from us, currently talking about the Antonine Wall, the fort in Newstead, some other shit that always seems to loop back to the Roman Empire, and I must admit it, it's kinda hot, watching Connor lay his dick on the table. The way my male friends gather around him like he shits good advice and life skills gives me some secondhand embarrassment, but it's nice that he doesn't look too out of place, even in a bar that's literally in a student union, a converted library where the median age is nowhere near his. His clothes are simple, but too high quality to really blend in, and there is an assurance about his presence that sets him apart. Still, since he settled everyone's tab and kept the bill running, Alfie has been giving him resentful glances, and witnessing that feels almost as good as sex. I don't think Connor enjoys being at the center of attention. He's well-practiced, socially adept, but it's obvious to me that he sees my friends as infants who just outgrew their diapers. I've been developing a theory about him, which is still half-baked, but here goes. The smooth manner in which he conducts himself, the ease as he walks about the world, is only superficial. He has learned how to be congenial and businesslike, but that's just the surfacing tip of the iceberg. Deep down, there is something else. Wilderness, maybe. A block of ice. A lot of control, for sure. The worst part is, I am the one he should be hanging out with. He keeps looking in my direction, maybe bored, maybe just checking in. We both know that if it was just the two of us, we'd be having way more fun. Like we did today. Sorry, I text him from my table. When he reads the message, he turns toward me to mouth, "You better be." And I don't hide my grin. "You know," Rose tells me, sipping her hot toddy, "I briefly wondered if you'd lost your mind and were letting some old guy dip his cookie into your milk just to get back at Alfie, but..." I follow her gaze all the way to Connor. "But..." "Now that I've seen him? No notes. I'd do him." I laugh. "No, you wouldn't." "No, I wouldn't. The idea is repulsive, but less so than most men. I can appreciate him, aesthetically." She ponders it. "Maybe it's because he had more time."
"More time to..."
"Become attractive. Maybe hotness is something you marinate toward. The longer you have, the more likely it is to accumulate."
"Maybe, but..."
"You know, he's not just handsome. He's actually really fun to talk to, too."
"Right, yeah."
Rose seems skeptical. "I reckon you discuss yachting and certificates of deposit?" "Both topics have yet to come up," I say, wondering if she'd be surprised to find out that we spent the day together. It wasn't the plan. I stood from our table at Loudon's expecting to go our separate ways. It wasn't premeditated, the way I tugged at his shirt and asked, "Hey, there are usually rowers on the river at this time, on Saturdays. Want me to take you?" He did. We went. Sat on the grass a little off the walkway and criticized the rower's form.
I can't believe the angle of their grip on the paddle, I said, disgusted. So amateurish. Connor turned to me, took off his sunglasses.
Do you know anything at all about rowing?
Nope. It earned me a deep sigh. His hand grabbed my hood and pushed it over my head and all the way down my face, and I laughed and laughed, even though I felt breathless. Then there was a castle, and while we walked through the stone staircases, I told him all about my feud with otters and similarly shaped animals. It was followed by another castle, and I found out that he almost got a PhD in biochemistry, and as he told me about his project, he sounded like such a consummate nerd. I couldn't help teasing him, even as he wondered out loud,
whether you'd fit through the arrow slits, trouble.
After pressing him for about 10 minutes, I discovered that in his spare time,
which I do not have, Maya,
he enjoys playing grand strategy war games.
You are a nation,
he explained,
and use its resources to craft a military strategy.
Connor Harkness, I tutted, you walking red flag.
I'm a man in finance in my mid-30s, talking to a 20-year-old about his lifelong hobbies. I'm surprised you didn't notice before.
Are we talking risk?
I'd rather not elaborate.
Or wait, is that computer games?
This conversation is over.
Are these war games you speak of just glorified Excel spreadsheets, Connor?
No comment.
He's so much older than me. Our age gap could apply for a driver's permit. But he listened when I tried to articulate that as much as I love physics, I'm not certain that's the career I want. Problem is, I'm also not certain that I don't, which, whatever, I'll figure it out.
Why do you do that?
He asked. What?
Interrupt yourself before finishing a thought.
I remembered trying to express the same doubts to Alfie. Usually people interrupt me first anyway? A scowling glance.
You need to find better people then.
It was fun, spending time with him. All the things we have in common, the people in our lives, the shared language of Austin, with its love for HEB and the profound hatred for I-35 traffic. Maybe, I thought, I miss home more than I realized. He received a lot of calls throughout the day. Most he declined. Some he sighed and said,
sorry, I have to take this.
One of them was from my brother.
Guess who I'm with?
He asked as he picked up.
I don't know.
I immediately recognized Eli's voice.
Is it the police? Have you been arrested for stabbing your father?
I realized that Connor was going to tell Eli that he'd flown here to see me, and I shook my head, quickly, instinctively. Don't, I whispered. Don't tell him. Connor's eyes locked with mine. His confusion was obvious. And yet,
you're exactly right,
he told Eli before changing the topic.
About the Myers final bid diligence. Why?
He asked after hanging up. I don't want him to worry, I said. Connor looked at me like he sensed the lie, and so did I. I just couldn't figure out what the true reason was, so I decided to force-feed him some iron brew. I was going to go home and get changed before meeting the others. I think Connor planned to do the same. It just kind of happened that we checked the time and realized that we were late, and the reason I'm wearing his coat is, well, he runs hot. I don't. You okay? Rose asks when Georgia leaves for the loo. Her palm rubs affectionately against my thigh. You seem a little distracted. Just tired, I'm about to say. Instead, I put down my empty soda glass and shift toward her. Did you know that it was going on? Alfie and Georgia? Her button nose scrunches up. You already asked. Did you forget? No, it's just, you didn't seem too shocked about it. I didn't know, Maya. Maybe I should stop being confrontational about this. It's just that if Sarika dumped you, I say calmly, and a week later I caught her making out with my cousin, I would be more open to admitting that my cousin acted like a total cunt.
Do you have a cousin?
What?
I'm just saying, you never mentioned having a cousin.
I let out a small, annoyed laugh. I do. Second or third degree. I don't really talk to them.
Yeah, well?
She shrugs.
Listen, I don't want to tell you what to do, but it's better for everyone if we move on.
I mean, you aren't so innocent yourself.
How so? You and Hot Rich Guy were in touch the whole time. And I don't blame you. Keep your options open. But we can move past the recriminations, no?
I think that I'm allowed to be angry at my roommate for banging my ex. And maybe I'm also allowed to be angry at my closest friend for not taking my side more forcefully.
I know you think that. It's because you have significant anger issues.
My eyes turn to slits. That is low, Rose.
Oh, come on, Maya. She's my cousin.
I have to take 500,000 deep breaths before I can say, I get where you're coming from. I slide out of the booth, hopping off the elevated platform.
I just wish you tried to do the same.
I walk away, done with the conversation, letting resentment twist through me. Staying with Rose seems pointless, especially when there's someone else I'd rather spend time with. Someone who's not going to lie to my face. Plus, I want something stronger than soda. At the counter, I lean over to catch the bartender's attention. Fail, repeatedly, until Connor appears at my side.
Hey,
he tells the woman.
She'll have
a shot, tequila. He winces.
I just purchased alcohol for my friend's underage sister. Brilliant.
It's perfectly legal. I've been drinking since I was 16 anyway.
Did not need to know that.
So I built up some really good enzymes. A shot slides my way. I down it quickly, feeling Connor's eyes fixed on my bobbing throat, the heat that starts in my stomach and spreads in all directions. When I slam the glass on the dark wood, the bartender pours me another. Connor's eyebrow rises. Shots are smaller here. I lean against the counter, facing him. So, do you like my friends?
Sure.
Sure?
Some of them are great. The birthday boy will go far in life.
Yeah, Sammy's awesome.
But the one in the tracksuit?
Jethro?
He's thinking of starting a podcast, and I'm not sure that what he has to say is monetizable.
I'm not convinced anyone listens to him for free, I snort. Have any of the guys asked you for a loan yet? He shrugs.
Not in so many words, no.
But?
The guy with the fringe tried to pitch me his dating app for adult diapers lovers.
Grant? I always suspected that he was a weirdo, but...
The weirdo is someone else?
A voice interrupts me. When Connor and I turn, Alfie is standing close by. Wasn't it just the two of us a couple of shots ago? Excuse me? I ask, but Alfie's not looking at me, and his face is ruddy, like he drank too much.
You are the perv, aren't you, mate? Well, yeah.
Connor nods, unfazed.
Not sure how you found out about that, though. Takes a single look. How old are you? 35.
Alfie's smile is mean-spirited. I've never seen his face do anything like that. I like to believe that if I had, we wouldn't have lasted as long as we did.
Do you know how old Maya is? 20? She could be your daughter. You're way overestimating the game I had at 14, mate.
Connor takes another sip of his stout, then sets it aside.
But it's only fair that you worry.
Alfie puffs up.
Glad you see the issue. Of course I do. You care about Maya, who's very young. younger than the both of us, and you wouldn't want me to take advantage of her naivete, shall we say.
He must notice my scowl, because his fingers rise up behind me and drum against my spine. Patience.
You respect her, want the best for her, and cannot stand to see her hurt. For all you know, I'll exploit her trust and maybe even break her heart. And that would be so fucking callous of me, wouldn't it?
Alfie's cheeks grow even redder from the alcohol, the heat inside the pub, the shame. I can't tell. All I know is that Connor's arm is wrapping around my shoulder, tugging me closer, curling in to rub his knuckles against my jaw. Nice. It's nice.
Word of advice, lad,
Connor says. Alfie nods stiffly.
Get out of my sight, right now. And do not talk to Maya unless you're answering a question she personally asked you.
When Alfie looks at me, wide-eyed, vaguely shocked by the threat, I smile and tell him, you should do as he says. He's so much older than us, there's no telling what his impulse control is. Alfie bristles away. When he's out of sight, I angle my body toward Connor's, savor the unfurling warmth of the tequila, and say, that was fun.
Was it?
Maybe not for Alfie. I smile up at him. After a while, Connor answers in kind. We should go, I tell him.
Yeah, I think I've had enough of college students.
Hey, I'm a college student.
He sighs.
And don't I know it?
It's his hand on the small of my back that pushes me out of the pub. Chapter 16. Present day, Taormina, Italy. I lie next to Neota on her bed and let out a slow exhale when she asks,
what do you mean you left them alone and went off by yourself?
On the one hand, the question is whispered, and given that her room is right across from Avery's, I should be very grateful for the courtesy. Unfortunately, Neota's whispers seem to have the acoustic power of a sperm whale.
I don't know, Nee. I don't...
Connor and Avery, she said that they still like each other. And he slept in Tamron's room, I think. I don't get what's happening, but I'm not going to compete against women for a guy who clearly...
Listen, Maya, he doesn't want Tamron or Avery. He wants you.
Neota's expression is adamant, which is not unusual. It's the contrast between what she just said and the degree of self-assurance that has me asking, did the staphylococcus take a bite off your brain? I'm serious. I press the back of my hand against her smooth forehead, looking for signs of meningitis.
God damn it, I'm not sick, or I am,
but I was sitting next to him for dinner, and I guarantee you that that man has zero interest in Tamron or in Avery. He looked at you the whole time.
Sure he did.
Seriously, not in an obvious way. He's smarter than that. But he's constantly checking on you. He keeps track of where you are. I scowl. He's just controlling and protective. Mostly because he infantilizes me.
Believe me, she says darkly, there is nothing infantilizing about the way he looks at you.
Right, yeah. How was your day? Do you want to...
He's just good at hiding it from you. I'll give you that. But while you were playing with the baby boy,
Kaida's a girl?
She waves her palm, dismissive. I refuse to acknowledge the existence of children unless it's absolutely necessary. They produce terrible noises and even more terrible smells, but society lets them get away with it just because they're cute. It's obscene how whipped they have us. Anyway...
Hark looked at you and the child the whole time, and he glared at Paul.
He glares at everyone, Neota.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that. Connor does care about me, but not that way. Are you put your hand on the fire and burn your fingerprints sure? Because that's not my read at all. And so far, I've been able to predict with 100% accuracy not only which partners at my firm are currently cheating on their spouses, but also with which clients... I got you something, I interrupt, briefly rolling around to retrieve the little paper bag I brought with me. After sneaking out of the theater, I spent a couple of hours wandering down Corso Umberto while sipping on a delicious drink made of water and sweet mint syrup. I visited a medieval palace, walked in and out of boutiques and souvenir shops, and decided to buy Nyota a present she would love. Wow! Nice attempt at distracting me. I am totally not a skilled litigator, and I will absolutely fall for...
Oh my God!
She does the sign of the cross.
What in the seven seas is that monstrosity, and why is it breaching the sacrosanctity of my bedchamber?
A magnet, I say innocently, forcing her to accept it. Of the flag of Sicily. You're welcome.
Is this the lady with snakes for hair?
Who turns people into stone?
Yep,
Medusa.
Why is she staring into my soul, and above all, why are three legs and two wings growing out of her neck?
The true question is, why not?
Terrifying.
She holds the magnet in her palm. I need a priest. And a rabbi. And a doctor. Is this thing going to chase me at night?
It certainly has enough limbs to do so.
Wait, if I put it on my desk, will it keep my boss away?
Undoubtedly.
Thank you for blessing me with this indispensable object, then. You're welcome. There were lots of other magnets, but this just called your name. With the same voice as the kid from The Exorcist?
How did you?
A knock interrupts me, and a moment later, Rue and Tisha walk in. It's almost 9 p.m., and they're both already wearing their pajamas.
Or still.
Aside from Connor, Avery, and me, I don't think anyone left the grounds of the villas.
We heard gossiping voices, Tisha says, pretzel-legged at the foot of her sister's bed. Decided that we wanted to be part of it.
Nyota gives her a skeptical look.
I'm sure Rue was the focal point of this decision. She loves slumber parties.
I don't mind,
Rue says, taking a much more composed seat next to me.
Anyway,
what were you two talking about? The curse?
Curse?
I ask.
What?
Well, Rue and I have been joking that only a cursed wedding can start with a vomitorium.
The wedding is not cursed, I reassure Rue, who seems mostly amused by my concern for her concern.
We were not talking about a non-existent curse.
About what then?
Tisha asks. I cast a panicky glance at Nyota, who quickly holds out the magnet.
About this thing.
Oh my.
Tisha lifts a hand to her chest.
Now that I've seen it, will I die in 7 days?
Probably. Also, I was updating Maya on my vacation sex life and how I had to stoop to downloading some weird Italian dating app.
You usually hunt among the wedding guests, her sister points out.
Hard pass. Axel is obviously an idiot. Paul shares genes with Axel, and I refuse to copulate with him under any circumstances. Hark is not my type.
Hark is totally your type.
So, unless you want me to seduce your nerdy boyfriend, I'm going to have to be proactive about this whole thing, and...
How was today? Rue asks me, leaving Nyota and Tisha to bicker.
Fun, I smile. I got you something at the market. Here, in the bag.
It's a packet of seed mix, Sicilian wildflowers.
I checked. You can bring them to the U.S. Just have to declare them.
She smiles, wide, and the rarity of it makes my heart glow with warmth. We should put it in the backyard, next to the prickly pears.
We.
Rue always talks about Eli and her home like it's mine, too.
We should.
And by we, I mean you'll do the work and I'll stay away to avoid withering them with my aura. Do you think that if I ever move from Austin, the garden will finally feel safe?
What do you mean, if?
When, I correct myself.
I mean when. Rue cocks her head, a small frown on her forehead. I'm intensely relieved when Nyota screams,
"She's his step... what?"
Rue and I both turn.
"Stepmother," Tisha is saying. "Did you really not know that?"
"Are you for real now? As in, she was married to his dad? She's his dad's widow?"
Whatever Tisha just told Nyota, it seems to have resuscitated her and imbued her with the energy to finally lift her head from the pillow.
"Did you know, Maya?"
"Know what?"
"That Tamarin is Hark's stepmother?"
I shake my head, disoriented, remembering the way he disappeared into her room last night. The groan Nyota lets out is nothing but appalled.
"God, I can't.
She has to be around Hark's age."
"A few months younger," I say reflexively, still reeling from the news, because Connor has talked to me about Tamarin countless times. He just never used her name.
"Dude, this is what I hate about rich old white men."
Nyota sags forward.
"They never fail to embody the stereotype, and they're so damn boring. They have their little midlife crises, and do they decide to invest in sustainability projects? Do they publicly advocate for women's reproductive rights? Nope. They get married to a girl who was barely potty trained by the time they'd embezzled their first million."
Her gaze sharpens.
"It wasn't a love match, was it?"
"I highly doubt it," Tisha says.
"Then please tell me that she did it."
"Did what?"
"Killed him. Tell me that stepmommy sprinkled arsenic and cinnamon on musty grandpa's oatmeal."
Tisha snorts. "From everything I've heard about the guy, he had it coming."
"Then I hope it was slow and painful and undignified. And I hope her name was all over the will. Being a trophy wife should always be a well-remunerated job. But being a trophy wife to a dickhead? I need her to be filthy rich."
I scratch my head. "She wasn't a trophy wife. Or not only. She was actually an exec."
They all turn to me.
Nyota blinks, accusing.
"You said you didn't know that she was..." "I know a bit about Connor's stepmother.
I just never connected her to Tamarin. She was actually part of Phineas Harkness's business, instrumental in growing some aspects of it. I can't recall what, though." I swallow. "She and Connor are very close."
Nyota's eyes nearly bulge out. "Are they fucking? Because that would be the real problematic summer fling."
"He'd point out that she's more age-appropriate than me," I don't say. "Tamarin needed to get out of Ireland," Rue says quietly. Like always, when she talks, everybody listens. She's good friends with Eli and Minami, too, not just Hark. And she owns this place. She and Hark are the reason we're having the wedding here.
"Is that a yes to the are they fucking question?" Nyota asks.
Rue smiles. "No, they aren't. They are more like siblings." Nyota says nothing. But the second Rue and Tisha are distracted, she whispers at me.
"I told you so."
5 days before the wedding. Chapter 17. The morning of the third day, I wake up at 6 a.m., way too early, especially considering that I was up with Rue, Tisha, and Nyota until nearly midnight, talking about... Well, there was a lot of Nyota educating us on exchange-traded funds. She also tried to rip her bedside drawer out of its hinges with her bare teeth when we admitted that none of us have an investment strategy. I should try to sleep longer, get accustomed to the new time zone, but staring at the ceiling and overthinking sounds unappealing. I put on a swimsuit and head for the pool, walking barefoot down the marble stairs and through the lemon grove, enjoying the gentle caress of the light on my face. The villa and its grounds are quiet. Not a single soul in sight except for me, the birds,
and the silent outline of Mount Etna.
Before I dive in, I realize that I forgot to grab a towel, but I'm too lazy to go back upstairs. I swim a few relaxed laps to warm up, then a few more. Savor the way the water makes demands on my body without pushing it to its limits. Focus on counting the strokes, and I'm never left truly alone with my own thoughts. I stop when my muscles begin to groan. Then I float on the water's surface, letting my body cool down, taking in the sounds of the house as it begins to awake. Shutters creaking open, metal and porcelain clanking together in the kitchen. A handful of people laughing down below, past the cliff, and the soft echo of church bells in the distance. The rhythm of the waves. After 10 minutes, when the tips of my fingers grow raisin-like and cold shivers run down my spine, I force myself to get out of the water. On the edge of the pool, there is a clean, neatly folded towel. The breakfast room is at full capacity, the table as richly loaded as yesterday morning, except this time there's a dozen of us eating. "Nice to see that people are recovering," I say, pouring myself some freshly squeezed orange juice. "I don't know," Tamarin shrugs. "I miss feeling one with the plumbing system. The sense of belonging that came with it." "Really made me reconnect with my spirituality," Neota agrees. I sneak a piece of bread to Tiny and wait for my breakfast, taking in the various conversations flowing around me. It's a first, seeing the entire wedding party together in the light, and I cannot help noticing that these 12 disparate people Rue and Eli put together all seem to get along. More than that, they like each other. Paul is showing Avery pictures of his garden. Diego, Minami, and Sol are bonding over a video game that involves elf fucking. Rue laughs with Tisha and does not look like she'd rather be elsewhere. "What are you thinking?" Neota asks me, slathering a fresh croissant with butter. "Not much. Just having a bit of a take stock of your life moment."
"How so?"
"I was thinking that if I were to get married tomorrow, I wouldn't have this many friends to invite."
Tamarin laughs. "I'll bet you have tons of friends."
"Maybe, by certain metrics. I'm not shy or introverted. But I lost most of my college friend group when I refused to be more gracious about Alfie and Georgia, and while I'll never stop missing Rose, I've come to accept that our falling out was inevitable. When I returned to Austin, I reconnected with high school friends, and I love them dearly. But in the years I was gone, we grew in different directions. The one person I can always count on is Jade. We've been close since our figure skating days, and even though we fell off while I was in Edinburgh, she never seemed to hold it against me. Sometimes we fight, but we always get over ourselves. She is what Minami and Connor are for Eli. My ride or die. The one I'd do an airport run for. The one I'd drop everything for if she asked me to be there. Whether it's to help her bury a body, or to be her witness when she elopes with a toadstool, probably.
She's a weirdo.
But she's my weirdo.
"Aren't you surrounded by hot physics nerds of all genders?" Neota asks.
"I like to picture you kids having fun. Doing lines, playing D&D until dawn."
Tamarin seems interested. "What are physicists like? Do they wear several layers of t-shirts?"
"Sometimes.
And they're..." I cast a glance around the room, looking for a good descriptor. Connor is near the entrance, talking with Eli in low tones. My brother's hand is on his shoulder. They're both smiling.
Neota's eyebrow lifts. "Pleasant? Sex gods? Smelly?"
"Very competitive.
Driven. Know exactly what they want."
"So do you, Miss Young Investigator Award." My laugh comes out a little stilted.
"Do you never have doubts, Nee? About your professional choice. Being a fancy lawyer?"
"Nah, I'm way too good at it." She points her knife at me. "Listen, choose MIT. Come to Boston."
"You'd be an obnoxiously close train ride to New York and to me. We'd hang out every weekend. Being spotted with an academic would considerably lower my social cachet, but I'd take the hit for you. I think you should take that industry position in California. Tamarin takes a bite off the roundest peach I've ever seen. I used to be in academia, and it fucks with your head.
You were?
My words sound rudely surprised. Sorry, that came out wrong. Didn't mean to imply that I'm too hot to be academically gifted. It does feel highly unfair, now that you mention it. She laughs and pats my arm, reassuring. I was halfway through my PhD in poli-sci.
Why did you stop?
Oh, you know, same old story. Was very young, caught the eye of a rich dude, was treated to a couple of steak dinners that cost more than my yearly graduate salary, accepted a hasty marriage proposal despite my many misgivings, spent the following decade in corporate. She shrugs, and I can't look away. There is something charming and vulnerable about her. Unique. When I was your age, I made a lot of stupid decisions, mostly out of fear and pressure. I sit forward, elbows on the table, study the crawl of freckles on her cheeks. Did it feel like it at the moment? Like you were making the wrong choice? Funny, you should ask, because, yeah, a little. This nagging feeling that it didn't feel natural, if you get my meaning. It's so easy to mess up if you're not listening to yourself. But don't worry about it. You're doing great. Her expression clears, and she leans closer. Sorry, we just met, and I shouldn't speak like I know you. But Connor told me a lot about you. I let out a scoffing laugh. I'm surprised that he speaks about me.
Are you?
Her eyes meet mine, knowing, level. There's a shared secret there. Her voice is low, for me only. You shouldn't be, Maya. I've known about you for years. Connor and I are very close. What's important to him, he tells me. I swallow, heart in my throat. Sometimes I wonder if I qualify. Suddenly she looks sad. She pulls back when today's breakfast appears in front of me, courtesy of Lucrezia. It's the same brioche I had yesterday, but cut horizontally and stuffed with two large scoops of gelato and whipped cream. Oh my God. I blink at my plate. This is beauty. And grace. And what separates humanity from beasts. A Sicilian breakfast.
Colazione, Lucrezia says, squeezing the ball of my shoulder with an affectionate strength that could easily dislocate my spinal cord, then leaving again.
Neota sighs. God, our country is so behind.
Is it?
Diego, whom I've never seen eat anything but sprouts, seems skeptical.
Is breakfast ice cream really the litmus test for societal development?
Shut up! Neota steals a fingerful of stracciatella from my plate and makes a face that would earn her lots of money on OnlyFans. That's when Axel enters the room, glancing around as if suspecting that a sniper might be trained on him.
No need to hide the knives, Axel.
Eli tells him.
No one wants revenge. You have been formally forgiven. We all agree that the dinner was a great start to this week. Really?
Axel asks.
Yep.
Eli nods.
A killer night.
Axel winces.
Really put the die in diet.
Eli adds. Axel groans and sinks into the chair next to me, looking like a chastised puppy. Honestly, poor guy.
You think your brother is going to murder me in my sleep?
He asks. I don't think so. But he will probably roast you for the rest of your natural life. I pat his back. Which at least should kill all remaining bacteria. By unanimous decision, the plan for the day is beach. I'd be a fan, even if it looked like one of the cheap, overcrowded, brown water spots where my parents used to bring me when I was a kid. The private strip of coast right under the villa, though?
takes my breath away. I descend the stone staircase and realize that the sand starts out fine and soft, then turns into white pebbles closer to the crystalline blue shoreline. Lucrezia shows us around, the private cabana, the sun loungers and umbrellas, and is on her way back to the villa when she notices me taking off my clothes. I grin at her, but she doesn't reciprocate. Her eyes narrow further as she watches me tie my hair at the crown of my head. When I wave her goodbye and head for the water, she hurries toward me, signaling something with her hands that I cannot quite understand. There is a no somewhere in the sentences, and she's pointing at my body. Is it my swimsuit? You don't like it? Lucrezia understands me even less than I do her, but a quick inspection of the rest of the group tells me that no one else has stripped down to their suits yet, and maybe Italy is conservative when it comes to swimwear? I mean, why not? The Pope is right here. Catholics can be weird about sex, right? Should I cover up? Get changed? She points at my bare midriff, and I wrap myself in a towel just to be safe. Then I glance around, searching for an Italian speaker.
What's up?
Connor asks when I manage to catch his eyes. He's still in his shorts and white tee and jogs up to me, separating from the rest of the guys, who are busy drawing lines in the sandier part of the shore. Lucrezia has been wagging her finger very insistently at me, and is my suit too revealing? I pull my towel open. Connor glances down at my bikini, a reflex, and freezes, like a wild animal caught in the lightwood, and it's like it hadn't occurred to him that there would be a body inside the swimsuit. My body. His stare is heavy and blatant and profoundly still. It lasts a hiccup of a moment. Then a seagull screeches over our heads, and he rips his eyes away. Blood rushes to my cheeks. I have another, one piece. I can go get it if she...
That's not... Let me find out,
he says, husky, before asking Lucrezia about the problema. He listens for a few moments, turns with a small smile.
Lucrezia is very worried about you.
Is it because I am a harlot?
Did you just use the word harlot?
I was going to say whore, but it didn't sound churchy enough.
This has nothing to do with churchiness or with your suit.
What then?
If you go swimming in the ocean within 2 hours of eating, you are going to drop dead.
Lucrezia adds something else, and he translates.
All your blood will be in your stomach, digesting. There will be none left in your limbs, and you will sink like a stone.
I scratch my temple. Tell her that doesn't sound right. Connor snorts.
I will not do such a thing.
It's a thoroughly debunked myth.
The science hasn't reached Italy, clearly. And I am not going to contradict Lucrezia, Maya. About anything. Ever.
I edge forward, glaring at him. Aww, you scared of the cute middle-aged lady?
I am. And not too proud to admit it.
Thank her for her concern, but I'll be fine. I'm a good swimmer. Another quick exchange in Italian that culminates in...
She reminds you that this area has lots of unexpected currents, and she wants me to keep an eye on you and rescue you when you inevitably begin drowning.
I look her in the eye. Sadly, Lucrezia, Connor is much more likely to hold my head underwater than to...
Ouch!
He's pinching the back of my arm so tight I'm going to have bruises. This hardly disproves my point, I hiss through gritted teeth.
But it proves mine.
Which is?
That you should be quiet and do as Lucrezia says.
But I want to... With an arm around my shoulder, he pulls me into him, tells Lucrezia something that sounds disturbingly like a promise, and then turns us both toward the makeshift field where the others are idling with a ball. Our feet slip through the sand, his heat pressed into my bare flank, and the scent of pine and sunblock fills my nose. His forearm hangs down my collarbone, right above the swell of my breast.
Come on, Trouble.
What is happening?
I'm kidnapping you, just to spare Lucrezia's peace of mind.
Chapter 18.
I beg my heart to slow the hell down.
Where are we going?
To play the best sport in the world.
I don't think we can figure skate on sand.
Football, Maya.
Your football or ours?
You have no football. Just an organized system of overgrown men giving each other CTE.
Soccer, then. Well, thank you for the offer, but I take issue with team sports as a construct.
Hey, guys.
He announces.
Maya's playing with us.
Eli's eyes turn to slits. He observes me from across the sand, skeptical.
You sure that's a good idea? Why not?
Connor pulls away, shrugging.
Diego, okay if she's with you? Eli and Axel, I'll be with Sol and Paul.
Diego gives me the thumbs up and a wide smile.
Hope you're ready to give it your all on the path to victory.
I'm not even willing to give a third of my all. At least, that's the intention. Unfortunately, anything with a remotely competitive bent sucks me in harder than a black hole. 15 minutes later, I'm very invested in the outcome of this inconsequential and severely dumbed-down game of soccer. Too invested. I don't like the person that I become when faced with the prospect of losing. Resist it. I beg my weak self. You're stronger than this. Then again, what if I'm not? And what if the fault lies in Axel and in subpar efforts? Hey, staff boy! I snarl after he fails to intercept the ball.
Yeah.
Not a threat or anything, but if you don't use your legs to run faster, someone might decide to cut them off. His expression is cowardly and not at all NHL befitting.
What?
And they might feed them to the jellyfish hanging out in the shallow waters, the ones over there. Just saying.
That's it.
Eli intervenes, facing me, hands on his hips. It gives me portentous, you're 14 and I'm about to take away your Dr. Pepper privileges, flashbacks.
Maya, out.
What? Why?
You know why. She's back, and we do not negotiate with her.
I gasp. She is not back. Paul moves closer, looks between us.
She? Who are you talking about?
Maya Geddon,
Sol whispers. No! I protest. Come on, no! She's locked in. I was just pointing out that Axel is terribly incompetent and the sole reason we might not win. But like, in a nice friendly way. Eli shakes his head.
You kicked sand at Paul. You tripped poor Sol twice. You know he has a bad back. And you nearly destroyed Hark's ability to have children with your knee.
I was megging him.
Maya, megging involves dribbling the ball through someone else's spread legs.
Precisely!
The ball wasn't even in your half of the field.
What? Come on! You can't kick me out! I can still win this!
That's exactly what the Maya Geddon would say.
I open my mouth to protest, but it dawns on me.
Oh my God. I bury my face in my hands. She's here. She's fighting to break out.
Paul clears his throat.
Is this, habitual behavior?
No! I sound desperate. There's no behavior. There's no this. Eli sighs.
The Maya Geddon hatches out of its depraved little egg every time there's a competition. 2 weeks ago, I beat Maya at Trivial Pursuit, and the following morning I found the pie slices crushed in the blender and the question cards in the recycling bin.
It was a pre-2000 edition. I wasn't even born. Keeping it in the house was ageist and...
Out,
Eli repeats ominously.
You're expelled. Banned. If I see you within 20 feet of the field, I will tie you to the pier. Go play with Tiny or something.
I let out a typical Maya Geddon groan and stomp away furiously, brushing past Connor, who holds out his bottle to me.
Have some water. It'll calm you down.
No,
It's always water this and water that, but when I try to drink the blood of my enemies...
Can't believe I'd forgotten.
He says, low. Fond, maybe. A few feet away, the others are straightening their shovel-made goalposts. Forgotten what?
The monster within.
I look at him, letting my gaze slip from his sunglasses to his bare chest. It's not the first time I've seen him shirtless. Last summer, he came over to help Eli put up a couple of raised beds for Rue, and even before. I'm sure there were other times.
Not a big deal!
I know his workout regimen, so none of this is surprising. Still, I glance away.
It's cute,
he says. What is?
How competitive you get.
I grab his water and take an angry sip from the same spot where he just drank. I'm not competitive. I just want to win.
Two very different things, Maya.
Yeah?
Why did you leave yesterday? At the theater?
I bend my head, curl my toes in the sand. Did Avery not tell you? I wanted to explore on my own, and...
I know the excuse you gave her. Can I have the truth?
My face heats in a way that has nothing to do with the sun, but I push through and turn to face him directly. No, I say firmly. You can't. He nods, once.
Very well. Even so, don't do it again.
I laugh, also once. I will if I want to, Connor.
You said we are friends, Maya.
His lips thin.
Friends don't do that.
Friends don't do what?
Disappear into the ether.
A single, outraged laugh slips out of me.
Are you serious? You are telling me?
His jaw tenses.
It's not the same.
No? Please then, enlighten me about how...
Maya!
Paul runs up to us.
I'm so sorry Eli kicked you out. Do you want me to speak to him? Get him to change his mind?
I let my eyes linger on Connor's face. Defiant. Angry. Don't glance away from him until Paul says my name again. Uncertain. Clueless about the electric charge crackling between Connor and me.
Maya?
Fucking Paul. It's okay, I tell him, forcing a smile. I totally could have won if he hadn't kicked me out. It's an old trick of his. Sabotage. He was trying to cost me the game. Connor has yet to look away from my face.
Eli was on your team,
he points out. Oh, right.
He couldn't stand not being the MVP. Jealousy is...
What? I stammer to a halt. All of a sudden, Connor's thumb is wiping back and forth at the base of my jaw, the pad of his finger cool in the rising heat.
Smudge of sunscreen.
Ah, I nod. That's fine then, I say dumbly, as though he needs permission after the fact.
Should we head back, Hark?
Paul asks him. And why is he here again?
Sure.
Connor sticks his bottle back in the cooler, then tells me,
We'll miss you.
I snort. The Megging police clearly won't.
True.
He grins, amused.
Others will, I'm sure.
They jog back. I stare at Connor's back, the ripple of muscles and tendons and bones and fat under his tanned skin, and try not to be disappointed when Paul is the one who turns around to smile at me. If I wanted, I could walk northeast for 10 minutes and reach Isola Bella. If I decided to break into an easy run, it would probably take me around half the time. The tide is low, and I can see the strip of sand that connects the island to the coast. There's almost no one in that area. Here in Taormina, schools won't be over until mid-June, and the beaches are on the lower end of crowded, especially in the mornings. If I went now, I wouldn't even have to deal with other tourists. I am tempted. So tempted. But I'm intercepted by Kaida and Tiny, who both want to play. And when they beckon me to the non-football section where the others are lounging, I can't say no to either. Impossibly, Kaida is even more adorable than usual in her see-through plastic sandals and little arm floats, which are spectacularly
Jaws-themed.
Maybe I shouldn't have let her pick, Manami sighs. Can't believe I thought she'd go for the Barbie ones. Promise me to never, ever change, I whisper at Kaida as I strap on her suit, then watch her run toward the water, only to freeze when a wave inches toward her. On the shore, we bake a sand cake that, I already know, I'll have to make a show of eating. Avery swims a few feet away from us. When wet, her long, straight hair reaches down past the middle of her back. The swimsuit she's wearing is technically a one-piece, but its strategically placed holes remind me of an avant-garde sculpture, at once classy and complicated.
This?
Kaida asks me, pointing at her. I press my lips together, trying not to laugh. More like a mermaid, princess. Kaida and Tiny run in circles around each other, both convinced that they're the one being chased. They dip their feet, paws, in the water, experimenting, trying to gauge the height of the splashes they can produce with the scientific focus worthy of a dam architect. I glance around in search of my phone, eager to take a commemorative video of baby's first hydropower project. But something feels amiss.
Hey!
I call toward the cabana. Manami, Rue, and the others are all there.
Have you seen Avery?
Manami looks lazily to her left, then her right.
I think she may have gone back. Did you see her leave?
No, but I was napping.
Why?
I turn back toward the ocean. Nothing disturbs the horizon. Not a seagull, not a boat, not a floating piece of wood, not a person.
It's weird. Could she have gone back?
Tisha asks, coming to stand at my side.
I don't think so. She was a bit ahead of us, maybe 2 minutes ago. She'd still be climbing the staircase.
I frown, spin toward the football field, and do what I always do when I'm feeling uncertain. Call my brother.
Eli?
He stops the ball under his foot, yells back.
Still not welcome, Maya Geddon.
No, it's...
Kaida, hang on. Hold my hand and stay close by for a minute, okay? Thank you, princess.
Have you guys seen Avery in the last minute or so?
No. Should we have?
I'm not sure. I saw her floating just a minute ago, but not since. And she mentioned not being a very strong swimmer.
I watch Eli and Connor exchange a brief, heavy look. And then it all happens very fast. The way they run into the water, followed by the others. My sinking heart as Connor screams